Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, December 11th, and it is 2 weeks, I sort of say 1 week, 2 weeks till Christmas Day. My goodness. And I'm telling you, time's moving on by. But anyway, we're glad to be able to bring these broadcasts to you, and looking forward to the weekend. Hope you are as well. I want to take this opportunity to invite you to come and be with us at the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. We are easily located at 1415 Island Ford Road, right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. It's the Island Ford Baptist Church. Service time Sunday morning at 11:05 for worship, 10:15 for Sunday school, and then Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m. Love to have you come and be with us on the Lord's Day this weekend. Well, I hope that you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as we look into the Word of God together. And we're going to be looking in the Scriptures today at Matthew chapter number 5, verses 31 and 32, starting up a new message on today's broadcast that will carry over into the first couple of days of next week. But before we do, I've got a song here by the Shepherd Family, one of my favorites that we recorded back a few years ago. This was the title track of the CD that we made, entitled "There Ain't Nothing Better Than Jesus." And friend, that's the truth. Nothing better than Jesus. I hope the song be a blessing to you. Then the message from the Word of God. All right. Well, we're going to begin a message today. We finished up the message yesterday for this week, so we're going to begin a new message today that we're going to continue on Monday and Tuesday of next week. But there'll be enough in it today that hopefully you'll get a blessing and be helped from it. And we're looking at what we call the contrast about marriage. We looked at morals, and I dealt with marriage in the morals, infidelity, that was immorality. But we're looking right now, we're going to begin in verse number 31, Matthew chapter number 5, verse 31 and 32, and talk about what our Lord taught about marriage. And hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live in the auditorium of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. Amen. Matthew chapter number 5, where we'll be looking at Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 31. Two verses, all I'm going to look at this morning for our message. Matthew chapter 5, we're still in the Sermon on the Mount. We are now in the section past the Beatitudes. We've gone through the part of the Beatitudes. These I'm calling the contrasts. It's a time when our Lord is showing what others are teaching, ye have heard, and then what He is teaching. And so we're looking at these contrasts. Verse number 31, Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says, "It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." And so we're going to look today at the contrast of marriages. We've looked at the contrast about murder, the contrast about morals when he dealt with adultery, unchasteness, immorality. Now we're looking at the contrast about our Lord's teaching about marriage. Well, as I have said already, and I'll say it again, our Lord, in dealing with these contrasts, He makes the statement, "It is written," or "it hath been said." This is the only case of these six contrasts. This one is the only case where He says, "It hath been said, ye have heard." That's what He said other time. "Ye have heard." So He's contrasting with what they have heard, not contrasting with what was written. Our Lord did not have a contrast. He did not have a difficulty or a complaint about what had been written in the Bible. It wasn't what was written that was His problem. It was how they were reading it. Amen. Right. And that's the situation today. The Bible's still right. Amen. And I'm amazed even false doctrines, false cults may have the right Bible. It's not the Bible that's the issue, that's the error. It's the way they're reading it that is the error, and the way they're teaching it and what they believe that it has to say. And so our Lord is contrasting His teaching with the teaching of the religious rulers of His day, which were the scribes and the Pharisees, as we see. And I believe a point, I wish I'd been driving this point home earlier. I saw it this week and saw this is needful to be driven home. Look back at verse number 20
as our Lord has closed up the Beatitudes there in verse number 12 and comes on about how that you're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And then he starts this section and he says he's not come to destroy the prophets, the law of the prophets. But he's talking about how we ought to exalt the Word of God. Don't look at things as little in the Word of God, because if you look at it as little, you'll be little in the kingdom of God. Amen. Don't look at things as little. All the Word of God is profitable. All the Word of God is needful, is what he's saying. But look at verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So he's going to exceed. He's going to show us how that his teachings excel above the teaching of the Pharisees and the publicans. I believe it would be legitimate to say that Christians ought to live above the rest of the world. Wouldn't you agree with that? I believe that real Christians ought to live better than Roman Catholics live. I believe that real Christians ought to live better than Jehovah's Witnesses live. I believe that real Christians ought to live better than Mormons. Real Christians ought to live better than Buddhists. Real Christians ought to live better than Muslims. Real Christians ought to live better than worldlings. Amen. And so our Lord is using this statement that we ought to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. As a matter of fact, he begins this section with that statement that we got to exceed that, we got to excel that, and he ends this section with it. Look at verse number 46 as our Lord ends this section, and he says, "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" He said, what have you done any more than they have if you're loving just those that love you? Verse 47, "And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others?" So you see again, the emphasis is we are to excel them. We are to exceed them. We're to do more than others. "Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." We ought to excel. We ought to mature. That's the idea of perfection there. We ought to mature. We ought to go on and grow and be above what the rest of the world is. Amen. So having said that, surely we can look at this section about marriage and say that Christian marriage ought to be sacred, even if the world doesn't see marriage as sacred. We're living in a day when sexuality and marriage, by the way, they've been divorced. They're supposed to be together. Amen. There's not supposed to be marital relations that are outside of marriage. Amen. But they have been not only separated, they have been denigrated. They have been brought down very low, and people see them as nothing much. They see them as bargaining tools, it seems like. They see them as bragging rights. They see them as billboard things, things to talk about on Facebook, things to brag about in the chat room or however that it goes. They see those things as being smaller and less sacred than they should be. Amen. We were talking in the prayer room, Brother Ricky asked if we'd ever heard of anybody having a Halloween themed wedding. I said, I have. I don't know the people, but I know of the people. It's the relatives of people, and they dressed in a gothic style and did the whole, you know, makeup and thing that went along with the gothic and the scary thing of it. But and by the way, I said to them, that's sad, and I believe it's unholy. I believe it's wicked, but it's sad that even beyond that we have Christians that are getting married dressing up like Superman and Lois Lane. Amen. And what happens? What's supposed to be a holy thing has been brought down to just a game. It's just fun. It's just foolish. It's just folly. Our Lord said we ought to respect marriage more than that. Amen. And so our Lord makes this statement. I'll read it again. He said, "It hath," verse 31, "it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." So there he's talking about how marriage is ended with divorce. "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. So our Lord gives us his contrast with the religious leaders in their teaching about marriage. Now, I will say this is probably and perhaps the most controversial topic that we'll deal with in our society. Amen. Marriage has been much in the news. Why do the Sodomites want marriage? Because not that they respect marriage so well. They don't intend on being faithful to one another. Amen. They don't understand faithfulness because they're perverted. Why do they want marriage? Because they want to pervert marriage. Because they want to destroy marriage. And marriage has been in the news, not only in our nation, but even in other nations around the world. Amen. People do have strong and varied opinions and feelings and beliefs about marriage, especially about divorce and remarriage. They have strong opinions and feelings and beliefs. And we might wonder why it is that this would be such a controversial topic when the Bible is anything but vague about this topic. Amen. The scriptures are clear. Amen. I realize the desires of the flesh are strong. I realize that the stubbornness of the will is bold. And many people want their way and they want their pleasure no matter what the Bible has to say about it. So that makes it a controversial issue. Before we delve into the intricacies and the arguments concerning these things, just simply read the words of our Lord, and I don't believe you can misunderstand them. He's not advocating divorce and remarriage. He's not saying it ought to be a common thing. He's not saying it ought to be an easy thing. He's not even saying it ought to be a present thing. He said it ought not be. He'd say it, if I could say it in the words of James, he'd say, brethren, these things ought not so to be. Amen. Now, I certainly don't want to start an argument. Neither do I wish to hurt people or pick a fight with people. My desire is to study the Bible and to preach it correctly. Amen. That is my desire. That's my purpose. But history will prove, even if we didn't have a Bible, history will prove that when marriage is looked at in a lower standard, it is not good for society. Before the Greek Empire fell, they were divorcing multiple times. Before the Roman Empire fell, they were divorcing multiple times. Matter of fact, I read that in the Greek and Roman Empire, that one of the ways that women could keep up with how many marriages and divorces they had were to count the rings on their fingers to help them remember. That's silly. That's bringing a moral decline, no doubt about it. Amen. And we see that throughout the world. Amen. These societies, they were fast becoming increasingly immoral as their lifestyle was concerned. And then they fell under the weight of their decadence. They fell under the weight of their sin because of their immorality. But before they were overthrown from without, they rotted from within because of a decay of their morals. And marriage is one of those symbols of decay. We talk about the woman at the well, John chapter number 4, and the fact that she was a sinful woman. Well, she was shown to be immoral. Matter of fact, not just a little immoral, helplessly immoral. Amen. How was she shown when our Lord talked to her about her marriage? He said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. And he said, you've said it well, for thou hast had 5 husbands. Amen. And he said, the one you're with now is not your husband. So here's a woman that had gone through marriage and divorce, marriage and divorce, marriage and divorce, marriage and divorce, marriage and divorce. And she decided, I'm not going through that again. I'll just shack up. And so she's living in a shack up situation. That proves the immorality in the days of our Lord. And so our Lord comes out in that day. Our Lord didn't say, now I know I don't want to offend the woman at the well. And he didn't want to offend the woman at the well. He wanted to save the woman at the well. But he still said, it ought not be this way. It's not God's plan. Amen. He did say, except it be for the cause of fornication, if you put her away, you're committing adultery. And if you marry her that is divorced, you're committing adultery. Amen. Now, to illustrate how immoral people were before the flood, the Bible gives us a good statement. Our Lord makes it. Look to Matthew chapter 24. Our Lord gives us a statement about how things were in the days of Noah before the flood. I'm sure you know this statement and recognize it. Our Lord said, Matthew chapter number 24:37. Thank you. Yep, 37 and 38. All right. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. So our Lord said this. He said in the days of Noah, here's how wickedly they were living. They were eating and drinking. Ain't nothing wrong with eating and drinking unless it's what or how much you're eating and drinking. Amen. They were marrying and giving in marriage. Nothing wrong with marrying. And in one sense, nothing wrong in giving in marriage. We say, who gives this woman to be married to this man? It's supposed to be her father. We say her father, her mother and I. That's what the dad generally says. Her mother and I. It's supposed to be the parents that are giving her away. Why is that? Because once she's given to that man, she's not supposed to be given away again. Amen. Not supposed to be more giving in marriage. So here's the idea, and I believe our Lord's referencing this statement that they counted marriage as a very low thing, that they were marrying and giving in marriage. They were marrying and turning that thing over and divorcing and then just remarrying. Amen. Now, the teachings of Scripture about divorce and remarriage and the teachings of our Savior about divorce and remarriage are very clear. And yet, there's also a danger that when we stand for what they taught, that we can find ourselves in danger. You remember John the Baptist? You remember what he got thrown in prison for? He got beheaded. You say, because that girl danced, why he got beheaded? Well, yeah, but what was he in prison for? He's in prison for telling Herodias and Herod, he told Herod that it was unlawful for him to have his brother Philip's wife, Herodias. She was divorced. People say, well, the divorce ends it, then she's got the right to remarry. Not according to John. Not according to our Lord. Amen. As a matter of fact, John was such a man that our Lord said, there's not a man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. And he stood, here's why he's thrown in prison. Not only because he believed that, but he had the audacity to say that and to say it publicly. It was wrong for them to divorce and remarry. Amen. And I don't know what caused Philip and Herodias to remarry. She was a very wicked woman, no doubt about it. And Herod was a very wicked man, no doubt about that. But I'm just simply saying that was the time our Lord lived in. That was the time that our Lord came to this earth. Shows you a little bit of the society around there. And yet our Lord stood with John. Our Lord said, that's not the way it's supposed to be. They're not supposed to be marrying and divorcing like that. Amen. But John's courageous stand cost him his head, and it cost him his life. Sometimes that kind of stand costs some things. Sometimes it causes whole groups of people to leave a church. Sometimes it causes the pastor to have to leave the church. At least to be asked, maybe to be asked to leave or something along those lines. That's why the day we're living in, a lot of places decided not to say anything about it. And by the way, I'm not here to say something about it again to hurt somebody or to bring up remembrances, but I am here to preach the whole counsel of God. I believe it is. I believe that's why God called me to preach. I believe that's why he calls any preacher to preach. Not to skirt issues. Matter of fact, John said, John the Baptist is going to go back to him. He said, we'll have to make this path straight if we're going to expect to see the Lord. You know how paths get crooked? Going around things is how paths get crooked. Dodging things is how paths get crooked. Going the way of least resistance is how paths get crooked. Amen. Sometimes in order to make a path straight, you got to cut a hill down. You got to dig. Sometimes you got to fill in a place. Amen. You gotta just keep on keeping on and do what's right. That's my purpose for preaching that today.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. As that concludes another week of radio broadcasting, we do hope you have a great weekend. I hope you'll be in the house of God on the Lord's Day. And I'd love to take this opportunity to invite you to come and be with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, located at 1415 Island Ford Road here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Our Sunday morning service, Sunday school starts up at 10:15 a.m. and then the preaching time at 11:05 a.m. as well. Sunday evening service is at 6:30 p.m. Love to have you come and be part of those with us. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.